Soup.
Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Soup. I am Bo Oliver, joined here today with Aaron, the Nerd Soup Monkey, and we are back to review The Boys, Season 3, Episode 7, Here Comes a Candle to Light You to Bed. And as we predicted last episode, we thought that this would become a war of words between Starlight Side and Vought. So the opening scene, another great opening with Ashley being interviewed and claiming that Starlight's committing treason.
I wonder if Starlight's actions could be considered treason.
Me too.
By saying all these things, linking her to Kimiko, that she's a terrorist sympathizer. And then you also had the great moment later in the episode where Starlight captures Homelander on Instagram Live. That to me was a jaw-dropping moment where, oh man, they got him there, right? Building a solid case against it.
Hey, everybody.
And episode 6 was so explosive. Herogasm, obviously. And the great fight there at the end, finally seeing Butcher and Homelander come to blows, actually, with their fists. But this episode, it kind of scales it back a bit, and it gets, it's an introspective for a character like Butcher. You know, they play with the whole idea of telepath being able to trap you in a nightmare that, and we've seen this before, like with WandaVision or Moon Knight, reliving those traumatic memories that brought him to where he is today. And I thought all that was very effective. You know, for all the satire and the parody, the jokes, the graphicness, this show can get really serious and personal at times, and it still hits just like all that other stuff does. So I thought this ended up being one of the top two episodes of the season for me. It's right there with Herogasm. Like I said, not as explosive, but very effective emotionally.
Yeah, definitely. And all the stuff that happened with Noir also, kind of digging into both Butcher's and Noir's past, and kind of both different styles, but both very effective. And yeah, I thought the Butcher stuff was pretty. We've seen the moments he had with his father and last season, I believe, and kind of you know, what Lenny means to him and how that reflects to Huey. And I thought that was just the best part of the episode, because, and we've seen them in past seasons, and I think more so in this season, and how that relationship is developing, and they're kind of just inseparable at this point. And I think Huey, you could tell with Butcher, has not only gained his respects and trust, but the way he views him and feels like he has to protect him. And obviously later on in the episode there comes a decision he has to make in order regarding Huey. But yeah, with Noir, contrasting Billy's journey inward to Noir's, I mean, they're both presented in completely different ways, and that's what the show does so fucking great, is that you can have this cartoon animation and live action mix, and it just it makes sense within the show. And I think it makes sense within the character of Noir, and seeing just how traumatized he is also. So I think going back on both of their traumas, giving more insights to those characters, were done in a very effective way. I think Noir is a little bit more funny due to what was happening, but that got fucking dark too.
It got super dark, man. I think when they actually reveal the one flashback of Noir being upset with Soldier Boy because he didn't get the part in, what was it, Beverly Hills Cop?
The guy's supposed to be funny. You're not funny.
I thought the animation was great, but it got hard to watch there when Soldier Boy starts wailing on him. And mm-hmm. People have been waiting for these moments of, why do these characters hate Soldier Boy? Why did they betray him? Because he has been a bit sympathetic in modern times, because he has nothing. He's so damn bad, and he's just trying to get his revenge. But now we see the moments of why they did betray him, you know, when they got the green light from Vault, that they were happy to take him out because he was such a prick. But yeah, for Noir, he's such a mystery of a character, so even when they're giving you that insight, it has to be told through these imaginary critters. It's hilarious and very absurd, and at times, like you said, very disturbing. You know, just to stick with the Noir stuff, Jensen Eccles, like we've said, he's done the voiceover work in the Batman projects, but he's just as good when he's just voicing a character, because even in those moments, that voice, it just carries so much power to it.
I think every time he speaks, you take notice. It's just something, and he's not, like, obviously overly enthusiastic in his delivery, but it's just very stern and says whatever is on his mind at that moment. And I think him as Soldier Boy has been one of the better, like, to already introduce the character in season 3 and have him up to the level of some of the series regulars who have all given outstanding performances and just fit like a glove has been pretty remarkable to watch.
What'd you say?
What?
What?
It's also really impressive. I mean, Soldier Boy's an intimidating character, and he's had some intimidating moments throughout this season, but I think this is the scariest he actually is, just as a cartoon eagle. I was just kind of the perfect way to imagine him in Black Noir's memories. And it shows that, you know, he was just as big of a diva, he was just as big as a baby as Homelander has proven to be. There was very similar type of insecurity to the characters where no one could ever move on their spots. And you even hear moments of not-so-subtle racism, the way he attacks Black Noir, even, you know, referencing the Jeffersons theme song, saying, you know, if you try and take my spot, I'm going to put you in the ground. It's just a very fucked up and aggressive thing to do to someone who's supposed to be your teammate. Very similar behavior that Homelander has displayed towards his teammates. But we also get the information in this episode that a lot of the myths surrounding Soldier Boy were lies. That he didn't storm Normandy on D-Day, he came 2 weeks after for the photo op. But he was present at some of these protests in the 50s and the 60s. I think the legend says that he was holding the hose. So you get this type of idea of who he actually was.
Right.
That it was this myth that was cultivated throughout the years and sold to the American public. And the legend admits that he got rich off of it. And they've talked about how the legend kind of feels a bit responsible and he's trying to make up for some of his past sins. But getting that information, you know, especially about Soldier Boy, it pulls back the mask for a character like Huey, where he confronts him and says, a lot of your story is bullshit. So you really see how he is the first Homelander in so many ways. Well, the marketing's just changed.
I mean, even with like the overall themes of the show and what these characters represent, I think that they do a great job with these two characters, Soldier Boy and Homelander, encapsulating old America and new America, or the dangers of old America and the dangers of contemporary America. Yeah. So like,
because the enemies, the boogeymen, are still there. They're just different. You know, for Soldier Boy, Afghanistan was the Allies, and now they're painted as the enemy. So it's all the same, similar messaging, just players have changed here. So they've done a really good job of that. And it's, you know, there's such similar characters, that's hard to do, right? You're just kind of doing the same thing again.
Yeah, and I think especially like as evil as these characters are and what they show, like just some of the things that come out of their mouths and what they do is just so entertaining at times. Like Soldier Boy having the threesome with the MILFs is just... sometimes I'm just like, how do they keep coming up with like these just weird scenarios? And there's just one-liners he drops all the time or just I come out of nowhere and they're just so fucking funny.
Well, the show, I mean, the humor is so outlandish that sometimes it's not going to hit. But I'm surprised by how often it does hit, where a lot of these excessive jokes and crass jokes don't come off as corny or easy or cheap. Because he just turns around, he's having the time of his life, he tells Huey, taste gets better, but they're a little dry. He's just so disgusting. I think Huey says that at one point in this episode. It's like, everything that comes out of your mouth is so gross. Can't you just talk normally?
How hard did Butcher suck your dick that you miss him that much? His mouth must feel like a Hoover Deluxe.
But he really has been, I think, the standout in this season. And across the board, there are so many great actors putting on great performances. So that's why it has been so impressive that a newcomer is the one kind of stealing the show here.
Yeah, and we talked about like just Jensen Ackles from the past reviews. But yeah, he jumped right in and he's going off Butcher so far. That moment with Homelander when they first meet is great and he's just fitting right in and it's just been really fun to watch from week to week. But yeah, speaking of Homelander, I think that scene with Maeve was actually...
Great scene.
He seems to have this, I don't want to say a soft spot for Maeve, but like he's definitely he views her differently than everybody else. And for her just to laugh in his face, like just seeing that he was able to get maybe not bested, but like, well, he did get bested, but she just sees a bruise and that's all she really needs to see.
Yeah, I think Homelander maybe respects her as a hero, and that's kind of where it stops. Because even him telling her, I'm keeping you alive, it's not that I won't kill you. It's because I want to harvest your eggs and create a super baby. So I could see the potential in your power, and that's all I kind of want to use you for. But for Maeve, even hearing that horrifying news, it's so satisfying because she sees Homelander with concealer on, that somebody was able to get a few licks on him, that he's injured, that he's scared. And that's interesting for a character like Homelander. That's, I guess, one emotion that he's never really displayed openly in front of other people, and especially when you have Maeve cornered. She can't go anywhere. She's being kept as a prisoner. There's nothing that she can actually do to you in these moments, but Homelander's still carrying over that fear of not only Soldier Boy, but now Butcher, because Butcher was the one who was able to stand more toe-to-toe with him than any of those heroes, because he's got the Superman powers as well. He just can't fly. Yeah, that was a great scene, man.
Yeah, and I think like you've alluded to when what happened to Kimiko when they first meet Soldier Boy, having the powers taken away, and that seems to be what that actually does. So
He says they fry the out of the survivors. He's fried the V out of them.
I wonder if
that was interesting too. Sorry to cut you off, Maeve saying that doesn't affect me whatsoever. You need this. Yeah. You need the powers to feel superior. I want to get out of the game. I don't give a fuck about that. That's good news. That's music to my ears.
I wonder if that's how they died. Like, maybe they lost the V first and they were just, the explosion is then what killed them.
Yeah. It also looks like a tough explosion to take, right?
It does.
You take that head on.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, and in this episode, it's Kimiko who asks Starlight to get her more of the Compound V because she wants to gain her powers back, saying that it's not the V that's necessarily evil, it's about who uses it. Not surprising. I mean, after what they went through in Episode 6, like we said, they weren't having a good time at Herogasm. I mean, neither were the people at Herogasm by the end of it. But I think that was such a... For them to experience that together, you know, she gets a brutal introduction to Frenchie's past. And she's, you know, she realizes that they're still in a vulnerable position. If they're going to keep on with this fight of trying to take out Soldier Boy, because that's what Frenchie and MM were trying to deduce in this episode, that it would benefit if she had her powers. And when she does have those powers, she is Wolverine. You know, yeah. Not only does she have the super strength, she's got the super healing. So it makes her such a valuable wild card. But that's a personal sacrifice that she's now willing to make, where she's going to give up, I guess, an aspect of her humanity in order to protect this new family that she has with Frenchie. And, the moments between them have always been so sweet, but when they talk about the kiss felt weird because we're more than that.
Right, yeah.
That was a great moment.
I like that moment a lot, too, because even when they talk about going away and, like, getting out of this life and all that and looking forward to the future, even though, like, I think they would, like, work well as, a romantic couple as well, it just always seemed like this more of, like, sibling type relationship,
yeah,
where, like, they love each other deeply, but it's more of just they are family now, and probably the only family that they have known. Well, obviously Kimiko with her brother, but with Frenchie's past and everything, and obviously Kimiko's past, like, this is the first time they probably felt secure in that sense in a while, or it feels like for the first time in their lives. Yeah, then we see Frenchie coming off of the moments that happened in last episode, and he's back to, you know, doing his drugs and everything like that.
Frenchie, are you high?
Well, that goes without saying.
Bro, I started dying when he passed out in the middle of that conversation. Just had the joint in his mouth and tipping over. And I was like, whoa, there, buddy. But he notices the MM tapping, and he says, yeah, we're both messed up in this situation. Mm-hmm. This season has definitely taken a lot of these two characters, where they have kind of fallen back into these sort of pits that they get into, with Frenchie with the drugs and MM being unable to control his OCD. So it's been tough for these characters, and like I said, they're still focusing on how to take out Soldier Boy, so that's their MO, whereas Butcher and Huey, they just want to take out Homelander. So you imagine that there's going to be a sort of clash there, because the boys are split on who they want to kill. I'm sure the boys wouldn't mind taking out Homelander either, but it's interesting how it's become these two factions led by Butcher and MM, and it's both for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I think it would benefit their fight to get rid of these people, but it's so personal for Butcher, and it's just as personal for MM. And then MM has that moment where he goes to confront Todd about bringing Janice to the Homelander rally. Todd is just such an idiot. I know a couple of Todds. I graduated with a few of them. You see these arguments all the time. They're lying to you. You're reading fake news. MM is on the ground.
That's all I wanted him to do is be like, yo, I'm living this, Todd.
This is my job.
I've met Homelander.
Yeah, he's tried to kill me several times.
It's so funny when you actually, like, think about, like, Todd and what he represents, and kind of, like, that notion that everything that goes against you it's fake, and just how...
Yeah, yeah. And all your enemies are just pedophiles.
Yeah, I mean...
Which is so... I got off Facebook for this reason, but everyone who disagrees with your political points just happens to be a pedophile these days.
No, I mean, it's effective. Like, on the school grounds, you know, someone makes fun of you and you make fun of, like, their dead parents or whatever. It's like, fuck. Okay, dick. And this is the same thing, but a little bit older. It's like, no, you're wrong and you're a pedophile.
Well, both of your parents are alive, so whose dead parents were you making fun of as a kid?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about mean shit kids say to people.
Kids are fucking mean.
I know. You don't think kids are pulling that out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Reach deep down, and that's what Todd's doing. He's like, he's basically like, ratio plus you're wrong plus pedophile.
Yeah, you know, MM obviously loses his cool in front of him because he does the classic cliche line. And that storyline has been a bit cliche, but I haven't minded it because I think MM's carrying the emotional weight of it, where he's got a legitimate issue, something that he can't get over, and it is affecting his relationship with not only his child, but his former wife as well, where he's trying to be to be a dad, just to be there. But it's tough because he's dealing with these anger issues. He's dealing with this OCD that relates to this nightmarish figure who's been resurrected resurrected from the dead. He's going through a lot, and it's not surprising that he wasn't able to pull back when Todd, you know, cheap shot. Typical,
I mean, come
Todd
on.
Cheap shot.
That's... Don't say that to somebody.
Yeah, and it always gets the audience like, oh, you got to punch him, right?
Yeah. I think Todd has a shirt that says, I'm not a stepdad, I'm the dad that stepped up.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And on the back, it says, don't tread on me.
I mean, we all wanted to punch Todd in that moment. And
that was for the audience.
Yeah, and obviously it does, because everybody besides his wife is kind of left out of the loop, or ex-wife is left out of, like, what MM is actually doing and what kind of, you know, what his job entails and why he can't be around as much as he would like to. But obviously, as the audience, we know the efforts he makes and his real motivations, so... Yeah, fuck Todd.
Well, going to the rally that Todd attended, the Homelander speech, once again, going back to Starlight's, I guess he accuses her foundation, right? He says that the kids go in and then they never come back out.
I mean, where are they going?
It's a foolproof playbook there by Homelander. Mm-hmm. And you see the senator who's actually running for president turn to his VP candidate and say, what the fuck is this kite doing? Completely hijack my rally. Once again, trying to play the media, accusing the media of taking Starlight's side, that they won't report on the actual shit that she's doing. I don't know. Does he remind you of any sort of political figure of the last 4 years? Anybody ring a bell?
No. Hillary?
Season 4, they're going to have hearings for Homelander's, all the shit that he's been peddling in this season 3. But what sticks out about this moment is what happens after the speech, is that he takes a little stroll to the barn and he just can't kick that
sweet,
milk.
Sweet milk.
Yeah. Props to him for knowing how to milk the cow.
Oh, he's...
Homelander can work with his hands.
The way they filmed that was so disgusting.
What'd she say? Skip breakfast? He's like, nope.
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 Yeah.
She's in pain.
His delivery just never gets old.
Because it's like, all right, you see a guy milking, like, all right, it's Luke Skywalker getting that green milk. Gross, but it's like, you know, it's what he does. He's just out here surviving on milk. He is sexually aroused by milking that cow and then drinking it.
Yeah, so unnecessary. Just drive up the road to a 7-Eleven. Just get yourself a nice 2%. It's about
the
milking it.
Fresh from the source.
Right, fresh from the source. But Amanda Newman talking to him the way that Stan Edgar used to, but I don't think she gets up to about 4 sentences until he ends up choking her. She oversteps a bit until she gives him that bit of information there. But like I said, stepping into the Edgar role of trying to get him more on balance, saying, listen, you know, button your shit up, man. There are cameras on you. Everybody's watching your every move. This is the time where you need to step up. And he is, like I said, he's becoming a bit unkempt here because it's the pressure of running Vought, and it's also the pressure of trying to stop Soldier Boy without admitting that he's actually real. And now it's the pressure of the most popular member of the Seven running this smear campaign against you. And at the end, it looks like that piece of paper had an address on it. So I think the audience can make up their own minds on what that actually is. But that's a bad sign for the boys, huh? Newman and Homelander working on the same page, right? She says a transactional relationship, so I imagine that they eventually will cross one another. If she can step into sort of that Edgar role where obviously she can't run Vought, but that's a powerful ally to have. It's an ally that Edgar had, you know, made things smoother for all the backdoor dealing that they were trying to accomplish. Claudia DeMitt continues to be another just gem of this cast, right? She doesn't have the most screen time, but every time she's on screen, she absolutely brings it.
It's so interesting, too. I wonder what we've seen her give, like, Starlight that little nosebleed, and obviously she's popped many a head. She even, Homelander even, like, kind of calls her out a little. It's like, oh, maybe you can do it, like, give it a try. So I wonder if they ever do come to blows, like, if she would be able to incapacitate him at the very least. Because she's pretty powerful, too. I mean, with Edgar, Stillwell, everybody else in Vought, they have been human. This is the first time, you know, he's dealing with the soup, like in this kind of transactional, mutually beneficial way. Go to a 7-Eleven. You think my... It's not the same. You saw him when he was chugging the milk out of the fridge.
Yeah, yeah, no. If he showed up to a picnic and they brought milk from 7-Eleven, he'd be upset about that. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, you got this from the store?
He's,
not from the
he's
source?
A big...
Farm to table.
It's like we're the only animal that drinks another animal's milk. You guys are being weird, not me.
That is true, right? Yeah. For other mammals, they're just drinking their mama's milk.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, mother's milk. Look at that.
Match made in heaven.
This show's going to end with them two on top. Like, you know what, mother's milk? I misjudged you. It's like, you know what, Homelander? I don't know what you do for me, but I guess you like me.
Meet Todd.
What a big three.
Todd, Mother's Milk, and Homelander.
One of the best big threes of this season has been Butcher, Huey, and Soulja Boy. I think all of them together. You mentioned it at the beginning of the review. Just their interactions, the way Soulja Boy's been able to play off of Butcher and Huey. I thought Soulja and Huey had some great moments in this episode. Huey accusing him of having the PTSD and, like I said, calling him out on his past. And Soulja Boy saying, you know, we need to do the job. Butcher would gladly give his life for this. So that moment when he kills the priest shocked me.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, with him having these delusions where he keeps hearing things that aren't there. He's like, you said that? You heard that? Thought, oh man, is this guy really losing it to that extent? When the nun attacked Huey, I thought, oh, okay, he was right. Mm-hmm. Mindstorm has taken over these people. But even after the scene, I thought to myself, maybe the nun was just trying to defend herself. Thinking this psycho just shot my husband, might as well just, or shot the priest, might as well just get some licks in, right? Just
try. Do you to think kill nuns are married to the priest?
I grew up a Buddhist. Just kidding. All right, guys, before we get to the second half of this review, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, Smile Brilliant. I think that we can all agree that we live in stressful times, and stress is the number one cause of why people grind their teeth in their sleep. The damage of grinding and clenching in your sleep can be irreversible, resulting in worn down tooth enamel, cracked teeth, chipped teeth, and infections. The cost of cosmetic fixes can run you thousands of dollars, and night guards at the dentist can cost anywhere between $200 to $600. But with one of Smile Brilliant's affordable, custom-fitted night guards, you can return to a peaceful night of sleep without worrying about any potential damage to your teeth. And right now, you can visit SmileBrilliant.com and receive 20% off all products simply by using our promo code NERDSOUP. Their night guards run as low as $45 per guard. Plus, they have a great selection of other great dental products like whitening trays, whitening gels, electric toothbrushes, and much more. So head on over to SmileBrilliant.com and don't forget to use our promo code NERDSOUP for 20% off all products. So don't wait, click that link, and take care of your teeth.
Yeah, but Huey's like reaction to him shooting the priest and being like so like upset about it, and just going like shooter when the nun attacks.
Yeah, he wasn't, like he said, he wasn't having that exorcist shit.
Yeah, but yeah, that was pretty brutal too. Like, because obviously you really didn't know what's going through Soulja Boy's mind at this time, because like you said, the whole episode he's been kind of spaced out. So it had this sense that he can snap at any moment or just kind of not be present, which is super dangerous when you're dealing with him.
Yeah, I think Huey and Butcher are starting to realize that this was high risk, high reward, really high risk, because of all the baggage that this guy is carrying around, and not to mention that he can explode at any moment. And they don't know what's triggering it. They don't know what, I guess it, they do know it's PTSD from the Russian experiments, but why does he keep losing it? You know, and you wonder if they're going to find that out and maybe exploited in a way, right? Perfect timing if you play that Russian music, if you've got him in a room with Homelander. Be a good way to set off that bomb, but it's not necessarily a bomb you're always going to have control over. And then he happens to be just an arrogant douchebag, so that always adds another element to it. You know, in Civil War, when Thunderbolt Ross says, you misplaced two nuclear weapons, or you misplaced two weapons of mass destruction, they really do feel like weapons of mass destruction in the Boys universe. Mm-hmm. That this power is just, it makes everything so precarious, where one wrong move, one slip up, you just have mass death, and they haven't shied away from that whatsoever. But even a power like Mindstorms, you know, what he does to Butcher, I opened this review saying how effective those scenes were. It was Carl Urban was obviously giving great performance in those moments, but it was hard to watch. You know, the way that he feels he let down Lenny, and you imagine having to go through that until the moment you die, right? Just over and over again. Their upbringing was obviously terrible, but it speaks to Butcher's humanity, that he had someone in his life that was able to see that humanity in him, and he held him back, as they called him, his canary. So, I don't know, with Butcher, you wonder what type of road he's going down. You know, is he going to drag Huey down with him, where they both end in tragedy, or is he going to kind of rediscover through Huey what Lenny used to do for him?
And it's such an effective way to further his character, compared to like a flashback trauma dump they did in Moon Knight. It kind of had, like, they were both going for the same things, but I think this was just so much more effective.
Very similar. Yeah, very similar.
And I think even the contrast of Huey trying to do what he can to save Butcher just shows just how much they've grown together. And that was kind of, that was sad too, when, was it Megamind?
Mindstorm.
Like, Mindstorm has had his own trauma and things he's had to deal with since the events of getting rid of Soldier Boy, obviously with the bipolar medication and all of those things. But, like, you know, you feel bad for him at the end because he's just a scared person who secluded himself from the world. And Huey's... I always hate that. Even though Huey was genuine in this, but, like, when they try to
comfort... I do wonder if he was.
I think he was.
Yeah.
When you try to comfort somebody and, like, it's like, hey, I can help you here, and they just fucking get the shields.
Yeah, he's so close.
That old thing.
Yeah.
When you get shield pummeled. I hate when that happens.
Unrecognizable. They never shy away from the nastiness of his powers. So Professor X, one of the most famous Marvel heroes ever, he's got it completely under control. For Mindstorm, this has been something that's been ailing him his whole life. Mm-hmm. He just can't get these voices out of his head. So it's he's bipolar, and he has to be on medication, and he has to stay away from society. And he's just someone who wants to be left alone. But for all these characters in Payback, their past is... caught up with them. But yeah, it sucked. You thought for a moment he was gonna be able to get away, and then he gets fucking stabbed through the eye with a knife.
Dude.
Soldier Boy just doesn't give a shit. And that's where he gets the information about being Homelander's father.
Because
he gives him the call at the end, and it was Mindstorm who told him, yeah, they used your DNA to create Homelander. And we also get that from Edgar when he says, they've got a new one who can fly. So we're do whatever you want to Soldier Boy.
Can you please stop eating those in front of me? I'm allergic.
I mean, that whole, like, there's so many different layers to that final scene, just having Starlight call Butcher and inform him, like, hey, like, you guys take the V again, you're gonna die. And Butcher at the end, just after all, like, everything we saw in that last episode, and the way he viewed Lenny, and the way he finds the parallels between Lenny and Huey, and all Huey did to save Butcher. And he's just like, gear up. We're about to kill Homelander.
We got to go get some more V.
Yep.
But their relationship has definitely grown because, you know, they butt heads often in season one and season two for the way they go about things. And we've talked about it with this season. Huey's more on board for some of these morally gray methods that Butcher has, to put it lightly. So even when Soldier Boy is acting weird, they have a couple of moments where they both look at each other. They're just both on the same page. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the choice for Butcher, right? Does he eventually tell Huey what the Compound V actually does? Or is he just too focused on killing Homelander that he brings him into this fight and they don't walk out of it? So it's definitely a choice that he has to make here. And I think it's going to say a lot about his character. And it says a lot about Huey, too, that is similar to Starlight. He does have the heart of a hero. He's not willing to leave Butcher behind. And he does challenge Soldier Boy on that front. And then he disobeys him. You know, he's the one just grabs Mindstorm and tries to make that deal with him. So their relationship, yeah, the development there has been very interesting to watch and to see how that's going to all play out. And now with this, you know, new plot twist of Soldier Boy technically being Homelander's father, it's something that Homelander always wanted. And you see the emotional reaction he has to it. It's an opportunity to have a family.
And even the Soldier Boy always wanted kids, he said to...
Butcher and Huey.
Yeah. So, like... That's fucking dangerous, man.
You're wondering, you know, did the boys... Damn, did they really fuck up by bringing this guy into the picture? Because if they team up, that's bad news for everyone.
It's not great.
Homelander, it looks like he's stronger than Soldier Boy, but there's not many out there that seem to be stronger than Soldier Boy. So when you have one and two on the same team, it's D-Wade and LeBron, right? You could be throwing alley-oops to each other.
It's like LeBron and LeBron.
That is true, yeah. It's 2009 LeBron and... 2018 LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
That would be disgusting. Holy fucking shit.
They actually pair very well together.
Yeah, no, they do.
So, yeah, it's interesting to see how they're going to...
Well, that's just a great plot twist, right?
Yeah. Well, looking about it now, like, it's probably kind of... Yeah. It could have been obvious, just the timing and everything, and how we know how Homelander was made in a lab, and they keep saying, I'm the new you, or... You know, you're the copycat or whatever they say. So, like, definitely, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, obviously. But when it happens, you're like, oh, fuck, that's going to be interesting. Maybe they just find what they were always looking for in each other, which...
Yeah, total fucking psychopath to love them. All right, I love me. Now there's another person like me to love instead. Even going back to the moment where they all do what Payback jumps Soldier Boy in the flashback, that was so well done. That was a great moment. And you see the gas that they use, the vapor, to knock him out and then just give him over to the Russians.
We also, I don't know if we mentioned Frenchie kind of figuring out that compound, what it was to subdue Soldier Boy. So.
Yeah, there's, and that's why I love Frenchie, man. I said sometimes I get a little bored with his subplots, but when he's with other members of the gang and just coming up with concoctions and giving his wisdoms, he's the best. He's one of the best supporting characters in this show. He's just so good when he's with the rest of the gang. And he says that they would need to take another trip back to Russia in order to get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to comment again about the Black Noir stuff. I thought that was just such a creative way to explore the repressed memories of such a fucked up superhero. And it puts his powers into new perspective. Clearly, Soldier Boy was able to get the better of him. So it confirms why Black Noir had that reaction to Soldier Boy's return. You know, he was scared. And he also was the mastermind behind all this, so he feels the responsibility to finish it. So we'll see what they do in the finale. You know, how they show his strength and how he can compare to Soldier Boy in the modern day. Great scene, too, man, when Butcher comes out of it. I mean, the Lenny suicide, you know that it's going to happen because they talked about it in season two. And him trying to plead with his younger self, don't leave, because obviously he knows what's going to happen. That was hard to watch. And him coming too, I thought Carl Urban there, he really pulled something out of me when it came to how I felt about this character and what he's going through. Because that apology was so genuine. And he wakes up and he sees Huey and all he can see is Lenny. In that moment. So I think that's the first time that they've seen Butcher, or at least Huey has seen Butcher, that vulnerable. And I think even his reaction to it was very surprised. You know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to apologize about.
Well, even his reaction when he hears that, you know, Huey could potentially be dead because of the V and what he's got him into. Like, you could tell that he cares deeply for him. And obviously Butcher, being the kind of guy he is, never really shows it too much. But in those moments, we really get another side of him.
Yeah, and I've already said it, but it is cool to see this respect that they have for each other in this season.
Well, even when he puts together that, like, if he's on bipolar medication and that's how you can track him.
He's proud of him.
Yeah.
Right. Look, you're becoming a little butcher, just like your papa.
Have you seen that little butcher meme?
Oi.
It's so fucking funny.
I love that shit, bro. Every reply.
Oi.
And I mentioned at the top of the review the scene where Starlight reveals to Homelander that she's live on Instagram when she returns to Vault Towers to bring back the Compound V for Kimiko. It is just always so satisfying when Homelander can be caught with his pants down, totally off guard, once again battling through the media. Just the world gets another taste of who this guy actually is, you know, the character that they've had to suffer with for so long. It's just it's the best way to fight against this fucking asshole.
That's supposed to record us when we're running lines.
Funniest scene of the episode by far was the Deep and Cassandra. I've got four quotable lines here that I just wrote down on my notes. Chase Crawford as this character, such a despicable man, such a dope, but man does he deliver with the comedic chops when it's called for. Just the reactions from Cassandra as well, because at first she's into it, right? Yeah, we need to spice up the relationship. I want to introduce you to someone. And he pulls out this wet creature just leaking on the bed, bro.
It's... Yeah, because she's probably like, oh, it's like another person, maybe. Like, okay, maybe I can get behind this. And it's just an octopus. I mean, that... Never mind. She's definitely not about it, though. You would think,
sounds like you might be about it.
I was just thinking, like, with the suctions, you know? Who knows? And he has a tentacle, so, like, everybody can, like, get in on it, too. Maybe I think she should have just gave it a try.
You can't knock it till you try. That's what they say.
You know, once you get past that it's an octopus...
But some of the one-liners here, when she's like, I'm not sleeping with a fish.
What's wrong?
You want me to fuck a fucking fish?
Whoa, hey, one, she's a mollusk.
The Deep knows that, right? Because he's dumb about everything else, but he knows fish.
Well, him being so confident in that he can function without her, and that, like, she's done nothing, is so fucking funny.
When she said that, she gives him too many notes.
I'll be great without you. Without you overnoting me all the fucking time.
Literally resurrected your whole career.
When he was like, it's a her, get the pronouns right.
We love a progressive.
Bro, but even when he looked her deep in the eyes and said,
Cassandra, I need this.
Like, yo, he really does need that. The man's a fucking freak. And even, you know, when he's like, she calls him an idiot. He goes, why did Dave Edgar say I have a formidable intellect?
You're an idiot, Kevin.
Then why did Dave Eggers say I have a formidable intellect, huh?
The way he pronounced it, too, you could tell that he practiced having to say formidable. That's a big word for the Deep, but that was definitely in the end. Definitely an article that he was rereading.
And also, we didn't talk about A-Train. You know, some people might have thought he was dead. I never got the sense that he was going to be. But, you know, he's back and good as new, I guess, with Blue Hawk's heart.
Dude, which Ashley's pitch about training A-Train and saying that they were going to get the guy from Downton Abbey to write it. Such a great reference. Yeah, but now A-Train's
who's going to play his brother?
Tom Hanks was going to play the coach.
Yep.
Well, it's one of those condescending sort of liberal ideas of a progressive movie.
Yeah.
Where it's the young African-American slinging dope is shown a more civilized way by this white coach.
Yep.
And A-Train at this point, you know, is just so tired of all this. You know, in the beginning of the season, he's kind of trying to push this narrative of being the liberal progressive A-Train. But obviously, with what's happened throughout this season, he's able to see through it. Not only everybody else's bullshit, but his own bullshit. You know, he realizes the mistakes that he's made. Now he's got this new heart. So yeah. What direction is he going to go? I imagine he's going to become a scumbag again because he keeps breaking my heart. But go ahead with your question.
Hypothetically, if you needed a new heart and you just got it from an absolute scumbag, would you be upset about it?
No.
I feel like I'd be upset.
I'm going to take this heart and you think that it's going to change you?
No, it's just weird to have that in me.
Well, I think you could feel good about it. Like, I killed this guy after what he did to my brother and I took his heart. That's gangster, actually.
That's badass.
God of War shit.
Yeah.
It ripped out his heart.
My enemy's heart, and now I use it to pump my blood.
Yeah, everyone...
You've swayed me.
...thought that, yeah, maybe he was dead, but that would have been too unceremonious of an ending for a character like that, so... Giving him back his powers, I just said in the last review, this show always doesn't give you what you want. So A-Train, I thought A-Train's powers were never going to come back, and that it was going to be this final moment of him using the last of the power he has left to do something good. But he's back in the game. And Ashley is can I get a what? She's great in every fucking scene she's in, man.
Yeah, she's such a... She's been all over the place in, like, such a great way, though, this season.
Yeah.
Just being, like, there's so many different outside factors just tearing her the hair out. You literally see what she does to her own hair under all the stress she's in. She kind of... It's that sense of, like, the bully who bullies his friend bullies the other people.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Kind of like that. Like, she gets bullied around from Homelander, so she just turns around and takes it out on... everybody else.
And just last episode, she's reminding A-Train of all the terrible things that he did. So his pleas for justice for her come off as hypocritical because he's quick to forget all the fucked up shit from his past. But as soon as she's able to get him this new heart and put him back in the forefront, saying, oh, are you willing to talk shit about Starlight? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. She's right back on his side. So he becomes marketable again. He becomes a positive asset for Vought. So they're going to prop him right back up. They're just no soul, these people.
I know. Even like the couple episodes back when she's like talking, she's like, yeah, like Black Lives Matter is my favorite hashtag. Like my... I have
she
nothing
said
but
that.
Black screens posted on my... Like she's just such a...
Yeah, she's such a corporate moderate.
Yeah, and like the way they...
Perfect for that role.
And just faking every type of thing just for, you know, what it does for the numbers. And I think she's done a great job of representing that in this show. Yeah, but I think we're in an interesting place now, obviously. It seems just episode by episode, things are just in place that... I guess now we have the clearest picture of what might go down, but there's still so many things up in the air, specifically when it comes to Soldier Boy and Homelander. So, and especially like just how good Herogasm was. Like, you think they definitely still have some shit up their sleeve for the finale.
Right. They've marketed Herogasm as normally shows end their season on a episode this good. So you know that they have something in store for us here for episode 8. And what's going to be the big fight? Because like I said, each finale has had confrontation. You know, season 1, you had Starlight versus A-Train. And season 2, you had Stormfront being ganged up on by Maeve, Kimiko, and Starlight. So who's going to be throwing hands here? And so many people are, you know, Frenchie and Mother's Mill talking about Butcher's too far gone. So it's not so black and white here at the end.
Yes, like he's obviously, I think he has a sense that he's like, he gets the news from Starlight, but like, I think that's like, I don't think that's going to stop him.
No, I don't think so either.
So
he's got a mission, man. He's a man on a mission.
He definitely was like, what would you say, like 3 to 5 doses? He's like, well,
he's on like 6.
But he's like, I'm kind of built different.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I'm Butcher.
I got that dog in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, few characters here have some big decisions to make. And that makes for great TV.
None bigger than Todd.
Right, press charges or not press charges. That is a big decision. All right, guys. Well, that does it for this review. Thank you for joining us. Leave your comments down below on what you thought about Episode 7, and make sure you join us next week for the finale review. It's going to be a very action-packed, fun episode. I know that because I've already seen it by the time this outro came out. But for Aaron the Nerd Suit Monkey, I'm Bo Oliver, signing off.
Damn, we were making some good points in that video. Hey guys, Aaron the Nerd Suit Monkey here. Before we end this video, I want to give a quick shout-out to our Patreon supporters. What can I say about you guys that I haven't already said about myself? You are the most important part of the channel and the main reason we keep going strong. Like Bo says, you keep the lights on in the fridge, so the fridge is full. Or something like that. So, from everyone here at Nerd Soup, I'd like to thank you guys for your continued support. If you're interested in joining the ranks of our patron supporters, head over to patreon.com/nerdsoup and check out the rewards we offer to our patrons. We recently dropped some new stickers for you guys to check out, or you could choose a tier that will allow you to select a movie, show, or video game for us to review. We've got a full slate of fan-suggested reviews coming your way, and we're really excited about the chance to review some of those movies and shows. We've also got t-shirts, mugs, behind-the-scenes videos showing how we bring our videos to life. And once again, thank you to all our Patreon pledgers who have been supporting us throughout the years. Without you, we wouldn't be able to convert all your pledges into cryptocurrency, so thank you from my future self for making us rich.